We're going to get started here in a minute once Lisa, oh, there you are, Lisa, great. How are we looking for the rest of the assembly? I see Ann, Terry, Julie, Dave, Ryan. We're missing somebody? We're missing. Oh, Patty.
She's there.
Oh, hi, Patty. Okay, you're on my second page. Second page over. Gotcha. All right. It is 8:20, and we are going to come out of recess and back into our regular session. And at this point, I would just like to allow, prior to opening it up to assembly questions, we'll just, I don't know if City Manager Von Bargen or Captain Spray wanted to comment at all off of anything that were heard, that was heard, or to add anything after that. Lisa, I'll let you go first.
Mr. Mayor, a couple of things, a bit both related to this but unrelated to each other. The first is that I just want to remind everybody, the city and borough of Wrangell has not put in any mandates except one. We did initially, one day prior to the governor's order, ask that bars and restaurants limit their service to carry out, but the governor issued that mandate the very next day. Other than that, Wrangell has had no specific mandates other than what the state has had. And we've talked about a couple of mandates, certainly, because we thought there weren't going to be appropriate testing measures at the airport, or we've certainly talked about a mask mandate previously, but I just want to remind everyone, we have actually not had any additional mandates, save that very first one for 24 hours. Okay. The second thing I'd like to just confirm is that what the ask is tonight is for the assembly to determine whether or not you would like this mandate brought back for action on the 10th. And so that's the ask. That's the consensus or the direction that needs to be given at the end of the discussion, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Captain Spray, anything?
Yeah, if I could, I wanted to address a couple things that came up. The first was Penny Allen had spoke regarding two people remaining on the list that was on the state dashboard. And words from Dr. Eric Mooring, who works in the epidemiology, stated that they're very behind in removing the recovered cases from their dashboard. They've had to shift around so many people up in the state and putting them in different areas to cover different spots. So those two people that remained on the list as far as being recovered, they've said you can go ahead and after that 10-day period, assume that they are recovered if they haven't been removed from that list. They found it more important to notify of, and we're putting their efforts toward notifying of active cases that were just being identified and the hospitalizations. So they're working diligently up there to try to get that cleaned up. I also wanted to address Dave Andreessen's discussions and ask of intrastate testing for locals. We have spoke with those in charge of the airport testing, and we have communications going on right now actually regarding that. And so that recommendation has been put forward to those individuals, and we are working towards trying to get that arranged. So I think that was about, oh no, excuse me. I also wanted to address, there were a number of individuals who brought up, can we do something before we do mask mandates? Can we put up signs? Can we do things? So I just want to remind folks, when we started to reopen, we had the Reopen Wrangell Committee. And in that, we put a significant amount of money towards for the Chamber of Commerce, and they assisted in incentivizing, giving out mask bucks. If you were found in the community wearing your mask, you know, surprise, surprise, you got some money for it. We've paid for a ton of advertising from posters for businesses during that Reopen Wrangell time. We've ordered I think we're at 7,000 or 8,000 masks for our community, for the school and for other businesses, and we give them away free here from the EOC. Community members stepped forward making masks. We had a group set up. They were all volunteer, wanted to help. What can we do? They were making masks and dropping them off at the library, and the library personnel were assisting in coordinating getting those out to individuals. And every day, I believe, for the first couple months, Mayor Persunka and our city manager, Lisa Von Bargen, were on the radio reminding folks all the measures that they could take, including mask wearing, hand washing, social distancing, all the things that we were hearing. And we continue to message every week, every Wednesday. Jamie Roberts does a great job continuing our Wednesday KSDK updates, getting that information out to the community. So we've done a lot of asking. We have posters is behind me there, yard signs that we ordered for the school, and posters for the school for a number of our city businesses that are up and about. So we have done a lot, and we've done a lot of measures, and we're still at the point we're at tonight where we're bringing this ask forward. So I think that's all that I wanted to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin Spray. Lisa, anything else from you?
No, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you. So at this point, we'll open it up to the borough assembly members for asking questions. I will remind you that we both have Chief Ratke still on, Captain Spray is available. We have Dr. Persunka available. So any questions or comments as we move forward, let's kick things off. Would anybody like to speak?
Mr. Mayor, also the attorney's still on the line.
Oh, right. Sorry. And thank you. Sorry, Joe. And Joe is still on as well. Joe Levesque, our municipal attorney. Thank you, Lisa. Anybody? Assemblymember Gilbert.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I'll start off. I really want to thank the community for all their verbal and letters that they sent in. It really does help the assembly get the temperature of the community. It truly helps, and we all read the letters and take their counsel at heart. And the community member said virtually everything I was going to say. Including a mask mandate would help our schools stay in person learning, which is something very near and dear to my heart. One of the things the community may have forgotten, however, is how much money we've spent already on trying to protect the community from COVID. And most of this was CARES money, and the borough manager can correct me if I get the dollar figures wrong, but we spent to date over $250,000 for a new ambulance to help protect the community. We recently authorized $4,000 for text to 911 capability for our community. We recently authorized over $34,000 in body cameras for our police department, not only to protect our citizens, but to protect our police department. I think the amount of money for touchless bathroom fixtures is around $300,000. And again, that's to protect the community. So I am in favor of having this emergency order to come before our assembly meeting in November 10, Tuesday, November 10. And I have a question for our attorney, if I could, through you, Mayor. Many citizens talked about their constitutional rights and how a mask mandate may violate those rights. I tried to do research, and the only thing I found was that it does not violate their First Amendment constitutional rights. Our attorney may want to comment on that.
Yep. Mr. Levesque, can you comment at all on Assemblymember Gilbert's findings on the constitutionality of a mask mandate?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Assemblymember Gilbert. Yeah, that's the same research that we've done. There are some very old cases from pandemics that were after the American Civil War and all types of things where cities had these kind of things and they were found to be constitutionally firm. So I think your research is correct.
Thank you. Assemblymember Gilbert, is there anything else for you? Okay, thank you. City Manager Von Bargen?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you. I just wanted to add to Assemblymember Gilbert's comments about investments in the community with CARES Act money. One of the reasons why the EOC is bringing this forward is to make sure that we are maintaining the integrity of our economy and the integrity of our way of life here in Wrangell. And to that end, the city and borough of Wrangell has to date paid out more than $700,000. I think it's all very close to $800,000 in community grants to both businesses and individuals to help make sure that our economy and our community and our families in our community are able to maintain during this time because of the economic hardship. And so I think that speaks to our commitment in terms of what we've tried to do to keep our community successful, our economy successful. And this a mask mandate is just one more way to help keep us moving forward in recovery.
Thank you, City Manager Bob Bargen. Other folks, questions? Assemblymember Corson.
Yes, sir. This addressing you, I'm kind of getting used to this address.
You're doing fine.
My question is to, I believe, either the attorney or Chief Radke. It's in reference to Chapter 23 under disasters, and it kind of addresses the rights issue with the Constitution and stuff like that.
Chapter 23, can you give more in terms of reference for the attorney and Chief Radke?
Specifically, there's 26, last statute 26 period 23 period 020, which basically says that the governor can initiate a 30-day protective order, and he cannot extend it without legislative process. That legislative process has been done, but from my records, from what I found out, they expire on the 15th of this month, and I haven't seen anything saying that they're going to go past that date. Am I incorrect on that?
The emergency order, I think the best person to possibly address that is either Lisa or Captain Spray. Where are we at when the state with the emergency order? Have you heard much more?
Mr. Mayor, if I may, I'll take a stab at this, and Captain Spray can weigh in here. The emergency order is going to expire. That's correct. And the last information I have is actually through the Anchorage Daily News, and the information is that the members of the legislature did not have enough votes to call themselves back in, and so legislative leadership had made an ask of the governor for the governor to make the call, and whether he is going to do that or not, I don't know. And I'm not sure if Captain Spray has any additional information on that.
No, we have been advised that there will be a governor press briefing tomorrow. However, that is the same that we've heard, what you spoke to there.
Okay, and then I'm going to ask Joe if you could respond to, I think the question is that if the state has given up its authority to invoke a emergency order under the, you know, sort of this global pandemic clause, does that then make it that the city as a home rule borough cannot make a mandate?
Mr. Mayor, thank you for the question. No, it doesn't at all. When the governor issues a mandate, his mandates often deal with travel restrictions. He has a lot of power under this Alaska Disaster Act that Assemblymember Corson just mentioned. But even if that expires, the municipality has its own powers as a home rule municipality. So no, the answer is no.
No. Assemblymember Corson, do you want to follow up at all?
Yes, sir. For what I read in the statute, the governor's power is executive-wise is only for 30 days. He has to have the legislative support to continue past that per Chapter 23.
Well, I understand that's correct, and I support what the manager said, that the legislature, the governor wanted the legislature to see if they wanted to come back in and actually, you know, pass some legislation to do that. And they've kind of punted, and so it's up to the governor. So we're waiting for tomorrow's press release.
But the governor cannot, on his own accord, do it without the support of the legislature, correct?
Well, I'm not sure, because the legislature punted to him. I think he has his executive powers that he could mandate something. I think that the governor just appears to really want the support of the legislature.
I'm just looking at Chapter 23, so it's to me it's black and white.
Assemblymember Corson, I'm trying to figure out because there was an original spot there, and I want to make sure that we answer that question. Is that was your original contention that the city cannot invoke a mask mandate if there is no emergency mandate in the state? Was that your original contention?
That's my train of thought.
Okay. I think Attorney Levesque, you are answering that question, that specific component of it, because we can't control what the governor does or the legislature, but the specific component to our ability in terms of legally being able to do this, you are saying that we have that authority as a home rule community.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Assemblymember Morrison.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Mayor, I got on my PC today instead of on my iPad, and I can't figure out how to wave.
Bill Gates' fault. It's all Bill Gates' fault.
Yeah, that's right. I think through you to our attorney, I believe he's answered my question. I have no problem with bringing this to us on Tuesday. I encourage that. My concern was the same as it was when we first discussed mandates back when this first started. Are we going to get ourselves into trouble legally? But it sounds like from what our attorney is telling us that this is a legal move. However, I see where Ketchikan, who's also a home rule town, is questioning their being able to do that also. So I just want to make as sure as we can that we are not going to get ourselves wrapped around an axle and drug for down sure. the road.
For sure. And I appreciate that. So Joe, I don't know if there's other legal assurances that you can offer to the assembly that, I know part of your answer is going to be anyone can sue you for any reason. And we certainly know that whether it's a good reason or a bad reason, anybody can sue you. But I guess really the question is, Joe, are we on good legal grounds that if someone did sue us, the city, to launch an appropriate defense that we are not violating their
constitutional right of freedom?
And I believe the answer is yes. It's defendable based on these very old cases. And they're mostly out of Missouri, and they are municipalities that imposed these. So I can dig those cases up and send them to the clerk.
So sure.
You can look at those.
Joe, are we offered a certain amount of comfort in that Anchorage, Juneau, you know, other municipalities and definitely other communities across the country have done mandates and much more severe and restrictive than what we're proposing? Is there been any cases brought against another municipality for either a mask mandate or travel mandate or a quarantining mandate that have been successfully pursued?
Not that I'm aware of, and there have been none in Alaska. But I don't know about the other 49 states, but I'm not aware of any.
Okay. Assemblyman Morrison, does that ease your mind a bit?
Yes, a bit. I just, I from reading other towns' newspapers, I'm just concerned. I just don't want us to get us, you know, wrapped around something. You know, talking about, just for people's information, Dutch Harbor, it makes no difference where you are traveling from. When you get to Dutch, you are in quarantine for 2 weeks, unless you're an essential.
Is Dutch Harbor a home rule community?
I don't believe so.
So that's interesting, because then actually they would be outside of their authority to do that, which is interesting.
Yes, but I could not swear to that being the case.
Okay.
But I do know you have to quarantine.
Okay. Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Joe. Terry, Dorianne had her tossed her hand up. I'm going to just let her make her comment, and then I'll get right to you, sir.
I just, in regards to the discussion about emergency orders, I just wanted to remind folks that the federal emergency order is still in effect, though our state emergency order is due to expire on November 15th. The federal emergency order does not at this moment have an expiration date. So I don't know.
Thank you.
If that changes, but.
Yeah, no, it's good information. Thank you. Assemblymember Corson.
Yes, sir, Mayor. This question is going to be referenced to Chief Radke. If it's okay, I had a prior conversation with him, and I don't want to blindside him. He may not have had time to look it over. There was a statute I had mentioned about arrests for a person who did not accept a citation. Bruce was talking about Bruce Smith earlier was talking about the escalation of a situation. It's someone who's going to be cited for this, and I knew what he was talking about because I was going to bring it up also. The statute is Alaska Statute 12.25.180, subsection A. And if Chief Radke needs time to look that up, I can wait a little bit if he needs to.
Chief Radke, did you catch that? Do you have access to the ability to visit that statute specifically?
Yeah, I can. I'll access it right now and read it right now.
Okay, thank you. And did you get that statute number? Okay, excellent. Yep. So we'll give Chief Radke a moment to access that and familiarize himself with it, if that's okay, Assemblymember Corson.
And I can move on to the next person. Yeah.
Sure. We'll come back to you there, Terry, one sec. Other comments from anyone? Well, we're going to wait for Chief Radke to have a look at that. Joe, are you able to access that statute as well?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I can answer the question that Unalaska is a first-class city.
First-class city. So they have the authority to make those sort of mandates?
I would need to confirm that with Mr. Levesque.
Okay, well, we don't want to multitask Joe too much here. We'll let him look at that statute.
And Mr. Mayor, I have the statute up, 1225-180A.
Okay. Could you read it, the assembly, that statute, please, Joe?
Right.
If it's not too lengthy.
Right. So as long as this hasn't been amended, because I'm looking at Touch and Go Alaska, and sometimes they haven't updated their statutes, but 1225-180A says, when a person is stopped or contacted by a police officer for the commission of a misdemeanor or violation of a municipal ordinance, the person may, in the discretion of the contacting peace officer, be issued a citation instead of being taken before a judge or a magistrate under AS 1225-150, unless the person does not furnish satisfactory evidence of identity, the contacting officer had reasonable and probable cause to believe the person is a danger to self and others, the crime for which the person is contacted is one involving violence or harm to another person or property, the person asked to be taken before a judge or a magistrate, which is the person can be asked, can make that request. The peace officer had probable cause to believe the person committed a crime involving domestic violence. When a person is stopped or contacted by a police officer for the commission of an infraction or a violation, the person shall be issued a citation instead of being taken before a judge or a magistrate, unless the person does not furnish satisfactory evidence or identity, or the person refuses to accept the citation or give written promise to appear as provided under another statute, 1225-190C. And to the police chief, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
Is he looking at the same thing?
Yes, I am.
So then, now that we know what the statute involved, Assemblymember Corson, what is your line of thinking and your direct question to the chief on that?
Well, Bruce Smith was talking earlier about escalations, and I was thinking about the same thing. We have a lot of people in town who would refuse that citation. Refusing the citation under subsection B2 would result in a mandatory arrest. So you're going from a simple $75 fine to a mandatory arrest. Is that correct, Chief Radke?
Yeah, but under the new COVID regulations, we're going to be pushing the person out. I mean, you're not going to let us hold a person for this.
I understand that. Would the charge be escalated, though?
Well, I mean, we can include it and ask for it to be included or charged, you know, when we give it to the district attorney.
Right. So it could be considered an escalation from $75 to possible jail time. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it could be. It could be a consideration. Right.
But I'm not saying it would happen. I'm just pointing out.
I understand.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Yes, it could happen. I just wanted to be, I wanted the council to be, because like I said, I did this for so many years. And I saw that, and no one was addressing that angle. And I think Sergeant Smith, or sorry, Bruce Smith was still in that train of thought, and I was actually going to bring it up tonight.
So, Assemblymember Corson, how many years were you on the department for in Wrangell?
Just over 20.
How many incidents did you put somebody in jail for a ticket?
Usually I will talk my way through it.
You know, I think the assembly is kind of aware that there's going to be a lot of talking and education and working with the public, and the intention is not to be tossing people in jail. The intention is to try and work with the public. To be honest with you, if you know, it's no different than responding to a chicken violation in many ways. It's in the same penalty scales as having 10 chickens instead of 9 in your front yard. And so, you know, I don't want to see people being tased over COVID masks or chickens.
Well, that's correct.
I think our police department is pretty skilled at de-escalation and working with people. I watched Chief Ratke work with somebody over a pigeon violation and did a pretty good job about it. managed to wind up with a little coffee on issues, but otherwise de-escalated it to a point where the person was compliant and able to do what we needed. So I think we have to work from our best intentions. If we see that the police are unable to, you know, manage it, we have to revisit things. But I don't think anybody, I certainly am not asking for people to wind up in jail. I'm just asking for us to, it's not a mandate if there isn't some penalty. Chief Ratke?
And, you know, I want to say too, if we're seeing, I guess, where people are not accepting the citation, they're having we're getting a pushback. I mean, that will be brought back in front of the council and to the city manager right away. We're in contact every day. Myself and Lisa are, I will be in contact with her to update her on a daily basis if we're seeing that trend.
And Assemblymember Corson, I'm not trying to shut this down. What I'm trying to do is I want to be careful. You know, what we're really doing in this meeting is sort of looking at, is this even an option to come forward to our regular assembly meeting for action? So there's going to be a whole nother discussion at that meeting as well, and an opportunity to review that further.
Right. I just wanted to expose this and move on.
Perfect.
That's all.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you've had pretty good history with it. Maybe you can do some de-escalation training with the guys.
verbal judo.
Sorry. Verbal judo. Yeah, fair enough. Anybody else with any thoughts or questions? Assemblymember Powell. David, I think, there you go.
I got it. I'm just going to say that I'm going to have to say out of respect of everybody that's worked on this and the EOCs and the doctors and everything. I'm going to say that we need to at least have this discussion and have it put on our agenda. I don't see where we can't. I think there's going to be a lot of discussion. I'm not going to get into a lot of the stuff I've already wrote down tonight. I think we'd just be repeating it on next Tuesday's meeting. So I'm going to have to say that out of a respect for everybody that's worked on this, I think we should put it on our agenda for next Tuesday.
Thank you, Assemblymember Powell. Any other thoughts, questions? I'll remind folks, there we go. Assemblymember Decker.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I just had a few thoughts after listening to all the public testimony, and I appreciate folks coming out. I know that's sometimes a difficult thing to do, and there's obviously passion on both sides of this issue. First, I want to say congratulations to Wrangell. Really, I mean, we have done a good job over the last 8 months. And that needs to be recognized, and people need to be, to just hear that. These are tense times, it's difficult, but everywhere from staff to citizens have really done a good job. And, you know, thankfully our geography, I think, has helped us out. Being an island and with a small population is definitely helpful in the pandemic. But people have, you know, I think for the most part acted fairly responsibly. So that's a positive people need to be recognized for. Secondly, from my perspective, I have a priority to keep our businesses open and keep our schools open safely. And from the beginning, that has been a real important thing to me. Schools obviously were kind of a later thing because they were shut down by the state initially, just like everything was shut down initially. Now that things have opened back up, we want to keep them open. And to me, things that we can do that are of minimal impact that can keep our businesses and our schools open is really important and sort of keep society running as much normal as possible is important to consider. So masks, hand washing, sanitizing, those are things that are common, in my opinion, these are common sense forms of preventing spread of disease. Many of us learned these things when we were kids, you know, cover your mouth when you sneeze or cough and wash your hands. Those are things we were taught from a long time ago. This is not rocket science or new. We know these are basic ways to help reduce spread of infectious disease. I also don't think the federal government is going to fix all of our problems here, whether it's our health problems or our economy. So I do believe we need to take personal responsibility, and that kind of really plays out at a local level. And it'd be wonderful if every single person took their own personal responsibility. That's not the perfect world, you know? I mean, we don't live in a perfect world like that, but I think at a local level, this is the place to take personal responsibility as a community. I do not believe we should act out of fear, and I do not believe that that's what we're doing. I think we're dealing with facts, and we're dealing with, even though our community does not have a large number of cases, we are seeing an escalation across the state, and it's not due to workers from seafood industry that are coming inside or tourism or anything from sort of an outside perspective. It's spread within our communities and within our state. So we need to recognize that this is a little bit different point in time. And so it necessitates us to take some little different reaction and precautions. And I agree with much of Penny Allen's letter, but I don't agree with all of it. And so I think we can work some things out in our conversation about this potential mandate on Tuesday. I support, you know, putting on the agenda and continuing the discussion. I don't know that it's in the perfect form the way it is right now, but I think we should discuss it on Tuesday and look at, you know, tweaking it. And to close, you know, I learned a couple things in 2020. I learned that our economy is not a given and that life is precious. And we should not take either for granted. And so I think that continuing this discussion on Tuesday is a good thing.
Thank you, Julie. Any other comments from assembly members? Or questions? All right, I'm not seeing anything. So. Before I ask for a basic show of hands here, if we should push this forward, I just want to thank, we heard folks already do, but I want to thank the community for writing the letters. I read every one of them and I really appreciate them. And all the people that took time out tonight to come and speak, really appreciate that as well. And I think there were some excellent points made tonight. But I also want to recognize the hard work of the EOC and the leadership of Captain Spray and Lisa Von Bargen and our police chief with the EOC and the other members. I don't mean to leave anybody out. This is a difficult thing. It's a difficult time. And I hope that it's not necessary because it just magically goes away. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And we could all just get back with life, but we're not seeing that. And the indicators that we're seeing in the state is that the very thing that we worried about 4 months ago that didn't happen is happening. And it's not a matter of that we think it's happening, it is happening.
I can't argue with somebody that doesn't believe the data. If you think the data is unfixed and that the scientists have all teamed up and that the EOC has a nefarious goal of forcing you to do something you don't want to do, I got nothing for you. I can't argue that, because there's, I don't know how to prove anything that if that's where you're at. I know working with these people, they are some of the hardest working people I've ever met in my life, and they've been completely dedicated to trying to keep Wrangell safe. And when we all, you know, when you go home in the evening, stop thinking about COVID, these folks are going home in the evening and thinking about it. I see the texts and I see the constant communication, and they're very, very worried and concerned about things busting loose. So I appreciate everything that they're doing. And to our healthcare providers and staff and nursing staff and the CNAs and everybody up at the hospital or the clinic, appreciate everything that they're doing to keep us safe as well. So I just want to say, I appreciate that things stayed civil tonight. That is so important as we move forward. And that I think Wrangell could be a model for civil discourse. So appreciate all of that. At this point, I would just like to ask folks to, Kim, are those blue hands visible to the public, or should I just ask for a show of hands?
I would just do a show. They're not visible to the public.
Okay. If we have four people that are interested in seeing this moving forward to a actionable agenda item on Tuesday night's regularly assembly meeting, please just raise your hand. And if we have four members, we will continue on. Use your real hand, I guess, not your blue hand. Okay, so I see at least four there, and we'll move forward with that. Kim, I think there was five actually. So we'll move forward with that. And I appreciate everybody's time tonight. Oh, Assemblymember Decker, is that still your hand from the, okay. Appreciate everybody's time tonight. And that was a long one, but we'll move forward to Tuesday night. Thanks everybody. And with that, we will adjourn at 9:02 PM.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.